trust me. Mm-hmm. Well, good morning, everybody. How we doing?
Right.
Doing good.
It's a pleasure to be here this morning. As y'all all know, Sydney and Sheree is out of town. Yeah. The Carolinas, I think, correct?
South Carolina.
Yeah, visiting family. So we wish them the best and hope they get home safely. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the time they're going to be there.
That's right.
So I get the privilege of getting a chance to speak to you guys this morning just before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I want to do a little something different, but we'll see how it works out. Mm-hmm. Let's go to prayer and see what God tells us. Amen.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for this day.
That's
right. Thank you for this opportunity, Father, to be here this morning, Father. We could have been anywhere else, but Father, we chose to be here with, so that we could be together as family. Yeah. So that we can share in your word, Father.
That's
and
right.
I pray today, Father, that the words that I speak, Father, not from me, but from you.
Please,
that they encourage and inspire, lift us up to be better people.
That's
in Jesus' name we pray all things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, I always like to start off with a little icebreaker for you guys. You know what I do. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. Three men died on Christmas Eve.
Dang.
Yeah. And were met by St. Peter at the pearly gates. In honor of the holy season, St. Peter said, you must each possess something that symbolizes Christmas to get into heaven. Wow. The first man fumbled through his pockets and pulled out a lighter. He flicked it on and he says, it represents a candle. You may pass through the pearly gates, St. Peter said. The second man reached into his pocket, pulled out a set of keys. He shook them and said, they're bells. St. Peter said, you may pass through the pearly gates. Mm-hmm. The third man started searching desperately through his pockets, and finally he pulled out a pair of women's glasses. St. Peter looked at him with a raised eyebrow and asked, and what did those symbolize? The man replied, they're carols. He never said that he let him go through. But good morning, everybody. Thank you so much. I always like to give a little humor, for, you know. But it is Christmas time, and if you would turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. And this is basically a communion, so I'm not going to be lifting along up here because I know that it is time for people to get that last minute Christmas shopping in so that y'all can get my gifts that you didn't bring this morning that you're probably going to go afterwards to buy. Right? So that way I can get y'all out of here.
Whatever.
So y'all can get to the stores and go ahead and get that gift.
Football.
Well, you know, whatever it is. You know, I'm not a picky guy. Lexus, Mercedes. Jaguar.
A Saint.
Saint who? Okay, then. All right, if we're there, let's go ahead and read. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angels of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to the son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So here it is, a man that had to take a wife to take home that's already pregnant. Now, if anybody knows the Jewish and the history of the Jewish and that time period, That was one reason why you could divorce a wife if she was, you know, unfaithful. And so he had everything within his right to do so. But instead, he was, you know, told by an angel that he had to do what needs to be done to take her on as his wife. And, you know, and I think about this part of it. Everybody talks about the birth of Mary and all that, and the mangers and everything. But here's a man that had to have real faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, being a man, I can imagine what was being said behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure the whispers and the things that went on and said, you know, she was pregnant. You know, she's already, you know, the things that he had to deal with. So that shows you that Joseph was a man of character, a man who realized that what God was more important than what people said and what people felt. And that takes a lot of courage sometimes, because in this lifetime, we all know that we all faced with ridicule from others, sometimes for other reasons. I was reading a news article the other day, a lady in Iowa ran over a child because she was Mexican. I mean, literally ran up on the sidewalk and ran over her, 14-year-old, and admitted to it. She said, yeah, I ran over because she was a Mexican. And I was like, wow, what kind of people have we become when we hate just because of color or race or whatever? We don't even get a chance to know the person, and we are so full of hate. But going back to here, it's, you know, it's not enough just to please God, you know, with what we do. We also got to show faith in what we do as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes, you know, you're going to be faced with situations that are not what you like. Trust me. Seems like this year we all, as a church here in Jackson, there's been a lot going on here.
Yeah.
And I know for us, and I know for Sidney and his family, and some of y'all probably, I don't know everybody's story, but for some reason, 2019 put a situation in our hands. But one thing and Rich and I always talk about, I'm proud to say that just like Joseph had this faith and didn't care what people said, you're still in the fight.
That's right.
You're still here.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be people out there that you're coming on going, well, why are they still coming to that church? Why are they still going there? There's only five or six of them there. Sometimes they look, today we only got a few.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says when two or more together, what?
God is here also.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter how many you are. You know, I travel a lot and I go to different places. And people that have come through here, I walk in, they'll go, hey, Henry. Yeah, I remember you from the Jackson Church. And I want you to know, they are truly encouraged by the church here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have never seen brothers or sisters who says, that was, to me, being at that church was one of the best experiences they've had. It almost renewed their belief in God.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, because sometimes we get a little weak in what we do. You know, we start to sway, go, oh, it's just another kind. But to come and see a small group worship the way you do here, they were amazed.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear it everywhere I go, even when I'm in Texas now. And the first thing they go, man, we loved the church. We loved everything. You guys took care of us. Y'all did some, you know, it's just on and on and on. You know, I'm like, well, we'll do anything but be people who love people, who didn't worry about what people said and what they thought of us. Because I can know a lot of people that come visit go, wow, y'all small group. But I always say, it ain't about the number.
Mm-hmm.
So the number don't make the group.
Mm-hmm.
What makes the group is the heart of the group.
That's right.
That's right.
And the heart of this group is a heart that loves people.
That's right.
And that takes me on to my next part. It says, Matthew chapter 25:24.
Come on.
It says, the king will say to those at the right, come, you are all blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance in the kingdom. Prepare for the sense of creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king replied, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. And I think about the Christmas time period here. And to me, it's just not about the gifts. I was so encouraged by yesterday, you ladies, giving to others at this time. Right here, y'all gave them clothes. They needed clothing. If they needed food, provide food. All the things you can do. So I want to encourage you this Christmas time. I know we're going to do gifts for one another, but think about the least of these. Because if you really want to please Jesus, this is what Jesus was about.
That's right.
All the other stuff you can read in the scripture, Jesus was about loving those who needed love. As he always said in the scripture, I didn't come here to save the righteous.
Right.
I come to save the sick and those who need me. And a lot of times, you know, he was with those who were prostitutes and people that no one, even the taxpayer, remember scripture talks about him sitting down with the taxpayers and all these different people at a meal, and he was persecuted by the prophecies that he was, you know, why would he sit with these people? And that's what Jesus said. These are the people I come for. Mm-hmm. Well, the people out here that don't have clothes, who don't have food, who need something, those are the people we're here for, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's, you know, it says that is who it is all about. Even, I always believe if Jesus was here today, what he would be saying to all of us is, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
The sick is out there. The people in prison are out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you need to be, because that's where he's going to be. He's going to be going to where the prostitutes sit. The people who are dealing with drugs, the people who are dealing with all kind of different issues in their life, that's where he's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get ready to go into this Christmas holiday, just think about your fellow man, your fellow sister who are going through struggles.
That's right.
You know, if we can give something back to them, buy an extra coat or jacket and give it to someone. I saw somewhere, I think it may have been in Europe or somewhere else, they hang up these coats all down a bridge. You know, people just come put their coats, their used coats and coats up there, so the homeless can just come get one.
Oh,
just
wow.
Come get one. You know, the coats are there, you know. You just come up and grab one that fits you and go on about your business.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of people we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that in a lot of times we get busy, we get, you know, tired up. I'm at a place called Parkland Medical, and it's a level one trauma center, and they're homeless out, you know, how level ones are. They usually have a lot of homeless people. And I walk in every day to people basically sleeping on the sidewalks every morning. They are asking for money and things like that. And basically out in the cold. And I always say that when I look at them, I don't look down at them. I look at them as that, you know what? These are the people that Jesus would be sitting with. These are the people, if you wanted to find Jesus, I guarantee he'd be sitting there with them and they'd all be crowded around and he'd be telling them, you're not destined. You're somebody.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the world tells you, but you're somebody.
That's right.
Come on.
And so I thought about this day as a time to, you know, we're getting ready for, you know, like I say, to go buy gifts and take care of our family and whatever. But if you have a little extra money, do something for someone else.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we all know somebody or a family member or a friend, or maybe just you just want to give something to the homeless. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we're about, guys. That's what makes this church special.
Yes.
I think by us going out and through the years of serving the homeless and doing these things, it makes us better people.
Yep.
It makes us examples of what God wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
We are people who love those who are the least and look out for those. That's why when people come here, they're so encouraged, because we treat people like they're, you know, like they're the guest of honors.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, wow, you know, just little me, yeah. Because you're special to us, because you're busy. And so we're going to treat you. We're going to open the doors. We're going to be, you know, all the things we can be. And that's why when they leave here, they see that genuine love that we have. And the Bible always tells us that love is what makes us who we are.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You can't do any of these things unless you love one another.
That's right.
And I think yesterday, you know, you set up a sermon, then you see something else. It makes you change your sermon a little bit. And yesterday, seeing the ladies really made me change my thought pattern. Was look at the love that you have for one another. How y'all came and took care of the people that were there. I guarantee every visitor that was at the house yesterday left there encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
They saw something that they don't see a lot of times in the bigger churches. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're about. We're about showing God, showing what we're about. And so my encouragement to you as we go into this Christmas and the end of the year, keep the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happens here, keep the faith. God is still here. God is in control.
That's right.
God will make it grow. It'll grow in his own time.
That's right.
You ain't got to be 600 to make it great.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You are great for what you are and who you are today.
That's right.
This will take us into our communion. And
if you're, it's in 1 Corinthians. This one, you know, this communion has different parts, but I like this one more than any one. It says, when we had given thanks, he broke it. Broke it and said, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 29. It says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do it in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in any unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink the judgment on themselves. But this is our, you know, time for our communion. I just encourage you that when you eat and drink, when you take the communion, understand this. This is a remembrance. See, this is the birth time, but really, he had to be born to die.
Mm-hmm.
And the death is the part that really connects us all. We don't even know if this is the day we're born on. It's just, and I don't think that was ever a big thing for Jesus on when he was born. But it was when he died.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that death, we all have the forgiveness of sin.
That's right.
And so just remember that God loves us all, and that whatever we do, we always do it because we want to encourage God to be who he is. And